Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Time now for the DenverFan.com front page.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Taking a look at the top stories in Denver sports, taken from your online home for the best opinions and information on the Broncos, Nuggets, Avalanche, Rockies, and more.
What in the name of Dan Issel?
With today's DenverFan.com front page, here's Schlereth and Evans.
News team, assemble!
Oh, there's so much good stuff here at DenverFan.com I want to talk about and react to, so let's jump right into it. Andrew Mason will join us coming up in about 15 minutes. Will Peterson writes about how Nathaniel Hackett saying hating the Raiders takes too much energy. Should Nathaniel Hackett have read the room better this week when talking about the Bronco-Raider rivalry?
No. I like, he's honest about how he feels. And I know he's excited about, you know, about game planning, excited about putting it together, going out there and playing. But no, I don't think he needs to be fake. I mean, I always say authenticity is the biggest thing, right? You've got to be authentic. And as long as you're authentic, I mean, people respect that.
Look, I don't think the Broncos Raiders have a rivalry right now. Having been reminded of what the Avalanche Red Wing rivalry was like when they did the ESPN 60 piece on the rivalry during the playoff run, that was just a great reminder of how awesome that rivalry was.
Right.
The Broncos and the Patriots during the Peyton era had a great rivalry. You know what goes into a great rivalry? When you have two really good teams playing for high stakes and each team gets their share. You know, that's what creates a rivalry. And then you add in the fights and the dynamic personalities and you know, Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady and all that stuff. That's what a rivalry is all about. Sorry, I was spoiled going through Avalanche Red Wings. I was spoiled going through Manning, Brady, Patriots, Belichick, and Broncos. So I you'll have to excuse me if I don't try to artificially pump life into Broncos Raiders this week. But there are people out there that still do regard it as a big deal. Mm-hmm. And maybe Nathaniel Hackett should probably pander to those folks little bit more.
No, be you. You got to be you. Yeah, don't pander to anybody. Be you.
Some more here. Broncos special teams coordinator Dwayne Stukes has written at DenverFan.com by Will Peterson again. Scrappy Will busy. Did not want to talk about Jerry Rosberg. When asked about Jerry Rosberg as the eye in the sky, all being eye of Sauron consultant, you'd have no idea what that meant right there, by the way.
No,
but that's
Just
keep playing along. And Google.
That's nerd stuff.
GTS that stuff a little bit later.
No.
But the idea is that, hey, Rosberg, guy's eye in the sky, guy is here to oversee things. Guy has a big special teams background. He was a special teams guy under John Harbaugh for a long time, well respected. Dwayne Stukes was asked, hey, will you be taking advice from Rosberg? And he was emphatic. Like, no way. Here's the line around me. Do not cross this line. It's like putting up tape around your cubicle. Do not come in here. And he was very adamant. So how do you think that other coaches feel about Rosberg and his role in all of this?
I think they're fine. I think they're fine with it. Like,
as long there's a button
They're fine with it. He's like, he was hired to assist the head coach,
right?
Not hired to it. You know, I don't need his advice on, you know, blocking schemes or whatever.
But this is a guy that's got credibility. It'd be like if you were hired to be the eye in the sky for Nathaniel Hackett, but then you walked downstairs and had some thoughts about the offensive line.
Well, listen, here's the deal. You're there to manage the game and to help Nathaniel Hackett so he can just release the play call, right? And so you can manage the game for him. Now, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, man, if Stoops came to, you know, Rosberg and said, hey, man, what do you think about this, you know, scheme I'm coaching on kick cover or on kick return? If you're soliciting information, great. If you're just rolling down there and saying, hey, you're doing it wrong, like, that's never going to be received well. So, yeah, I'm like, he's got a role. Know your role and stay with it. I'm okay with that.
At DenverFan.com, Jake Shapiro writing about how Ejiro Evero, the defensive coordinator, a bit coy when talking about whether or not we'll see Pat Surtain on Devontae Adams. We better see Pat Surtain on Devontae Adams. Isn't this the point of drafting Pat Surtain? Is for him to get these high-profile one-on-one, follow him all over the field type matchups?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're gonna get those. Like, that's gonna happen. You know, when he lines up into the boundary as the single side receiver, Surtain's gonna roll over there and follow him and cover him, just like he did against DK Metcalf. Now all of a sudden you motion him into a stack formation on a 3-by-1 side and a bunch formation, whatever, and he's in the back end of that bunch, you know, that may not happen. You may not follow that. It just depends on the defense.
Why can't Pat Surtain follow Devontae Adams wherever he goes?
Well, he can, but then you're basically saying all's we're going to play is man, and you're not going to do that. Because if all you play is man, you know what you're going to do? You're going to expose other guys who aren't as good in man. Like, for instance, you're going to expose your linebacker on Waller. And you cannot, you'll get torched if you play that way. You can't do that 100% of the time. That's why. Did that answer your question?
Well, no, because...
What do you mean no?
No, because then what's the... Then if I'm Josh McDaniels and I want to get Devontae Adams away from Pat Surtain, then it shouldn't be that hard to do it. Right? Based on how you just described it.
Well, you can
play
it,
keep away.
Well, sure, you can play keep away that way.
And then Devontae Adams can feast.
No, because he's not getting one-on-ones on the outside. You're going to do that, you got to run him in the middle of the football field, where now it's easier to bracket the guy and double team the guy. Like, yeah, there are things that you can do to get him, you know, to get him tied up or you know, free releases, Mike, and you can follow him, but you're not going to follow him 100% of the time. That would be stupid too.
So the idea is
there's got to be some balance.
Okay, so if he lines up on wide on Pat Surtain's side, Surtain's got him one-on-one. If he lines up wide on the other side, you've talked about this before. This is something Belichick likes to do. He'll put his best corner on the second receiver, lock him down completely, and then that allows the other side,
right,
for the number one guy, you could play the safety over the top, and basically you're just playing like a double team on that number one guy. Correct?
You can do that. You can follow him wide over there, too. You can still follow him in the slot. You can do that, but you're not going to do it 100% of the time. 100% of the time, like, you don't want to do anything 100% of the time because you basically have tipped your hand on what you're doing 100% of the time. So you got to have some variety in there, Mike.
Wow.
It'd be like if all you ever did, Mike, if all you ever did...
I have a feeling I know where this is going. Go ahead. Body shame me.
What did you think I was going to say?
You're going to body shame me. Or food,
no.
food shame me. You're going to make a chicken wing reference, a buffet reference. Go ahead, get it out.
No. I was just going to say if all you ever do is eat one thing, right?
Uh-huh.
That's going to get... you're going to get really tired of that one thing.
Well, like what are we talking about? What's the one thing?
All you ever did was eat chicken wings, for instance. At some point, it's like when you went mano a mano with Big O, back when Big O was Big O and now he's Little O. Right?
Yeah.
if and at the end of that, you hounded, like, you housed 70 wings or something like that. How many did you house?
60. No, I think he got to 66. I got to like 62.
I like working the bone
in 45 minutes.
Yes. And so at 62, you know, I mean, there was a time where you're looking at chicken wings going, I cannot shove another chicken wing in my mouth.
Yeah, that lasted about a weekend.
Yeah, but still. But if that was all you ever ate, that's all you could eat was chicken wings, eventually you get tired of chicken.
Boy, would I love a rematch with Big O right now. Do you know how badly I destroy him?
Oh, gosh. Big O is little O.
He is little O.
Yeah, you crush him.
I'm starting to think that if Big O and I, like, lined up offensive line, defensive line style, I think I could blow him off the ball.
Do you think you blow Big O? No, he's got technique
what?
On you. He's got technique on
bro,
you.
Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Yeah, but he's got no butt. He's got nothing now. There's nothing there.
No,
I still
not.
Do. I still have like a. I have, still a, I have like a. Still. Like my lower half's like built like a guard, so I could. I think I could get low.
You
drive.
Yeah, you get low. You have. You know. You got the mom jeans going. You got. You got some girth.
Yeah.
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 Hips. You're like Shakira. Your hips don't lie.
Hips, butt.
You can sink them.
Yeah, I can sink my hips.
Yeah, his hamstrings are connected directly to his lower back. There's no fan no, there.
There's anymore. Nothing there. There is nothing.
I want to talk now.
No, right. I know. One more. At DenverFan.com, you can read John Davis. The Broncos' gaffes of 2022 have nothing on the Josh McDaniels era. You know, it's probably a good time. Let's just take a little stroll down memory lane.
Mm-hmm.
The things that Josh McDaniels did that made people's heads explode around here.
Right.
So it started with trading Jay Cutler. Started with, first of all, referring to him as the player. Then right. Trading Jay Cutler. You had at training camp. Well, no, then let's go to the draft. Remember, everybody wanted the Broncos to draft Brian Arakpo? They drafted Knowshon Moreno, who turned out to be a pretty good pick. By the way, for all the grief that Josh McDaniels gets, and it's deserved,
yeah.
He drafted pretty well while he was here, in the short time he was here. But remember, he introduced music at training camp. Again, it's become a staple all over the place. But at the time, at the time, coming off Mike Shanahan, that just wasn't done.
Right. Who cares?
Then remember when he would, again, kind of a little bit ahead of his time, but at the time it went over like a lead weight, he would defer the opening kickoff.
Mm.
Everybody does that now, right? Pretty much. Everybody wins the opening toss. They defer to the second half. They choose not to take the ball. Back then, everybody took the ball if you won the... So he was deferring and people were losing their minds. Boy, what else we got?
Yeah.
Filming Cutler, the other opponent.
What else? Job and
you got that on national TV. Right. Yep.
Right. You traded Cutler. Tony Scheffler, the tight end, he traded him too, right?
Yep.
Who else did he traded somebody else too. Yeah, he wasn't afraid just to get rid of people.
Remember he traded? He traded a back into the second round to take a corner? Remember that one? Who was the corner he loved? Alphonso Smith.
Oh.
He traded a future first-round pick for a 2009 second-round pick.
Yeah.
To take Alphonso Smith.
Trading. You know what? You did say he drafted well. There were some good draft picks. There was also Tebow. Like you said, Alphonso Smith. So maybe we just give that one a wash.
Yeah, let's see.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right, so who did he draft while he was here? Real quick.
Well, he drafted Demaryius Thomas.
That's correct. He drafted Knowshon Moreno, Robert Ayers. I'm just going through his first draft and his second one. David Bruton, good player.
Yeah.
Then he drafted the next year, he drafted Demaryius Thomas, Tim Tebow, Zane Beadles, Eric Decker. So that was a pretty good draft.
Mm, was it?
Well, compared to some of the drafts we saw with Elway for a while there, that yes, those were good drafts.
This is really my fault.
Yeah, you know, Tebow, the Demaryius Thomas was a good pick. Great pick. I'll give him that.
Yeah. So, not terrific, huh?
Not even really good? Not terrific.
Gosh darn terrific.
Yeah. You and the terrific word, yeah, I'm not going to let you.
I'm throwing terrific around too easily today?
You're just throwing terrific around like it's something easy.
Like people, you know, refer to NBA superstars and there's like 30 superstars and really there's only about four. Is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm overusing terrific the way that NBA people overuse superstar. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. Generational player. And yeah, you're throwing around terrific. And it's just bothering me a little bit.
Senior Bronco writer Andrew Mason at DenverFan.com joins us. Mace, what's happening?
Oh, not too much. I mean, I would use it's a simple word, but I would use the word, I'd say, terrific is good for the Demaryius Thomas pick, and then I'd say something like Zane Beatles was a good pick. Eric Dicker was a good pick in terms of the value they got. But yeah, I agree. Terrific's probably a little bit overused.
Okay. I got to ask you, Mace, is this the weekend against the Raiders in Vegas where we see somewhat of an offensive explosion? Are they ready?
I think it will. How do you define explosion? Because I don't think they're all of a sudden going
to
get.
Give it to them.
I'm saying 24 plus points, somewhere in the 24 to 30 range.
Strictly from the offense.
Oh, yeah, I think they'll get that.
Mike is throwing strictly from the offense.
That's I need to get that out there.
All right.
That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
there could be a defensive touchdown, but I'd say this. I mean, you are facing a quarterback who has proven himself very unlikely to have the type of throws, at least against this defense and this type of scheme, that are going to result in takeaways. So, yeah, that 24, I think I expect them to score 24. My pick is that they win. They win 24-17 this game. So I think this will be where it starts to look like everyone expected it will. But I don't think they're going to be all the way there this week, though.
All right. So clearly, you saw some signs on Sunday night that give you hope and encouragement. What did you see?
I mean, I think the touchdown drive had some encouragement to it. I mean, and just in the big picture, I mean, they move the ball reasonably consistently and fairly well in the first two games, and then it ground to a halt in the third game, but they had the drive when they needed it the most. And so I think there are things that they can take from that. I think maybe you structure things a little bit to allow Russell Wilson to get beyond the structure and start improvising a little bit sooner, perhaps, than he has most of the season, because two big plays on that drive were beyond the structure of the play design. So I think it's just kind of learning from bits along the way, and combined with the fact that this Raiders defense right now just isn't very good. I mean, this is you faced a very good defense last week in the San Francisco 49ers. You're facing one that isn't on that level with the Raiders. I think there are going to be some opportunities there to kind of unclog the pipes a little bit.
How concerned are you with this defense? I know they've played great so far, but they faced Geno Smith, they faced Davis Mills, and they faced obviously Jimmy Garoppolo, who's not quite ready for prime time and did not practice all off season with a shoulder, you know, injury, and wasn't the starter to start the season. So this offense can put up some points. This offense has got some weapons. How much faith do you have right now in the Broncos defense and what they've done so far?
A lot of faith, and I'd say this, I think they'll hold the Raiders below their average, but holding them below their average means that they could still give up 20 points in this game. And that wouldn't at all surprise me if they're in that range. I mean, part of the reason why I think the Broncos are going to get 24 in this game is I think they're going to end up needing it. The game flow is going to be a little bit different because the Raiders will make some plays, and the gift that Derek Carr has going against this type of defense. Although Ezeiro Evero does throw more wrinkles in terms of blitzes than Vic Fangio did, and the time where he brings the pass rush from. So it's a little more creative, and it's on a little bit of a different level than what they were doing under Fangio. But the genius of Derek Carr against this type of scheme is that he will just take what's there, and he will not get phased or flustered. So if you can see the underneath stuff, he'll just take it, and they'll just kind of dink, dunk their way down the field. And so you're kind of battling Derek Carr's patience here because he's a very patient quarterback against this type of defense. So some of the things that fluster other quarterbacks don't necessarily work against him. And then and then also with the Raiders, it's that they have plenty of quality targets. I mean, now Hunter Renfrow, he's been in the concussion protocol, so he hasn't practiced yet this week, but you've still got Devontae Adams. You've still got Darren Waller. And Mac Hollins is proving to be somebody who can kind of pick up the slack as well as when you've got double coverage on the other two. So yeah, this is, I think the defense will do fine, but I don't think this is going to be a statement type of performance. I think the Raiders will make some plays on them.
All right, Mace, you got a prediction?
Yeah, I'm going to say right around 17, 20 points for the Raiders. So I'm going to say 24-17 Broncos. Broncos get their third dub of the season and their third in a row.
I like it. All right, Mace, thank you very much. Andrew Mason, our senior Bronco writer at DenverFan.com, joining us on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. We've got our predictions coming up in about a half hour. Are you, you feel confident about yours? Do you know what you're going to?
Oh, yeah.
You know where you're going?
Oh, who are you talking to? You're talking to the owner of I Told You So Island.
With Riptide Beach.
Riptide Beach. Yeah, do I feel confident? Yeah, I do.
I changed my pick from yesterday.
Oh, did you now?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But there's a method to my madness.
Okay.
Ooh, scandalous.
Okay.
Oh, I like so you're going to give them enough points, but now, you're so predictable.
Oh, really? Okay,
so, yeah, let's. You're gonna give
I'm
them,
curious to
you're
see if you're predicting
20.
Me.
You're going to give them the 24 points, mm-hmm. But to make your prediction of this offense not quite being ready for prime time, there's going to be a defensive touchdown in your 24 point prediction. I read you like a freaking book.
Okay.
A book.
All right. We shall see. We shall see if you're right or not. Okay. All right, tough guy.
Oh, now all of a sudden you're like, oh gosh, I gotta change my. Oh, let me see. I'm gonna carry the one. You try to do math. I don't buy it.
Yeah, you're right. I leave all the math to you. Jeez,
I hate numbers.
you think? Okay, it is. It isn't just me. Friday, we'll get to the best of the Is It Just Me's next.
You're going to need a bigger boat. It's time for Schlereth and Evans' big story of the day.
What is this that you're so big?
Here's Schlereth and Evans with this morning's biggest story in Denver sports.
Big mistake. Big. Huge.
Okay. We've got our big predictions coming up in about 20 minutes. Mm. But let's get to the best of the Is It Just Me's on this Is It Just Me Friday. Here's one. Is it just me or I can't believe Evans is making Schlereth explain that 100% man coverage is a bad idea? So you're telling me that never before in the history of football has a shutdown corner followed a premier wide receiver all over the field for an entire game? It's never happened?
No, not for an entire game. For 100% of the, absolutely not.
Deion Sanders never followed around.
For a hundred percent of the game. Now maybe back in the day when you lined up in static formations, maybe yes, but no, and not in today's game. Not 100%. You're gonna get a bunch of those matchups. For instance, the matchup where Pat Surtain went on against DK Metcalf, like the majority of the times, yeah, he got them in one-on-one favorable situation or one-on-one matchups, but it wasn't 100%.
All right.
You're just not going to get 100%. Okay, I mean, offenses are going to find a way through motion and through what you're playing to negate that to some degree.
Well, then I got to ask then what's the point in drafting a Pat Surtain if in situations like this you're playing a guy like Davante Adams, and if the offensive coordinator play caller is creative enough, you can get Davante Adams away from Pat Surtain.
Yeah, but then you motion him into a double team. So, like, I mean, well, pick your poison.
But the idea.
So if Pat Surtain
hold on. Okay. I'm not going to let that one pass because you've told me many times with Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers that even if he's double teamed, he's open. You've said that.
Sure.
Okay, then. So I'd rather have Pat Surtain on him one on one than trusting a double team of two inferior guys.
Well, but here's the deal: you got to pick your poison. So if Pat Surtain, say, is into the boundary, right, and they decide to put somebody else into the boundary, and they decide to, you know, to stack in a three by one formation, they decide to stack, you know, one and two, and Davante Adams is at number two. Well, if Pat is shutting down that half of the field, now we're gonna get our linebacker and a nickel guy to bracket 17. Bottom line is. Hey, you can take him away initially. You know, he still may work to get open. And most of the time when I was saying the double team thing on Davante Adams with Aaron Rodgers, a lot of times, Mike, he was out there. He was out there with a cornerback into the boundary, and a safety would roll over the top. That means you're getting a bunch of one-on-ones on the other side of the formation. So it's a pick your poison. It's a pick your poison deal. Like, you would love to be able to double team that guy all the time. And like you and I have talked about also, you know, that was a big Belichick thing was, hey man, I got myself, Darrell Revis Island. We didn't put Revis on number one. We put him on number two. And we put him on the number two receiver and said, shut him down. And then we double team the number one receiver. So there's a lot of different ways to do it, but you're not just going to do it one way the whole time. That would just be stupid.
All right. Okay. Hey, and for the texter who says, is it just me or Evans doesn't understand defensive schemes? Okay. So if on Sunday, the big play of the game involves Davante Adams catching a big touchdown pass, and it happens while Pat Surtain is covering Mac Hollins.
Mm-hmm.
So to the texture, you're just going to be like, oh, well, them's the breaks. Them's the breaks. That's what happened. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
People are going to be people. I will blow my gas. I'll blow a gasket if the Broncos lose on Sunday because Derek Carr is completing a big touchdown pass to Davante Adams and Pat Surtain isn't on him.
Okay.
I will.
All right. Well,
I will, and I won't be alone.
I don't want you. I don't.
I will
you
blow a gasket.
I don't want your gaskets to be blown.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen with my head if a gasket in there blew?
No. It would just be. It would not. It would not be pretty. You and gasket blowing is not. It's not my idea of a good time.
This one. You, is it just me or you two? Uh-oh. Anytime a texter involves you two.
Two dudes. Ultimate dudes.
That's true.
Okay, you two.
Is it just me or you two don't understand that for Broncos country, this is our Super Bowl? The Raiders games are our Super Bowls.
I hope
that's just you.
Like, I hope that it is just you. I hope, like, that's one of the most foolish texts I've heard. If that's your standard now, you have dropped so far down from a standard standpoint that the standard of winning championships is no longer applies to you. It's just trying to beat the Raiders. Then we have sunk to a place that I'm embarrassed about.
And the Oakland Raiders are no more.
I get it. And I am not trying to tell older Bronco fans to forget about the Raider rivalry? Because I understand that there was a time when the Raider rivalry was so intense because the Raiders always beat the Broncos. And then when the Broncos started beating the Raiders, how cathartic it was and what a hump it was to get over to finally beat the Raiders. But what is the – and you were telling a story earlier about how you used to – growing up and early on in the league, how you hated the Cowboys and you hated the Raiders and the obnoxious, arrogant fans and the so-called mystique of the Raiders and America's team with the Cowboys. What is the one common denominator that sort of connects all of that? All of that? The team was good. The Raiders were good. The Cowboys were good. Okay, the Raiders have been irrelevant for 20 years. 20 years they've been irrelevant.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the Broncos have been irrelevant for 6 years. I'm sorry, you can't. I can't. Maybe you can. I just can't summon up a whole lot of, fever pitch for a rivalry when both teams aren't good. Both teams are good, and they're playing for high stakes, and we get them one time, and they get us the next time, and that's why we can't wait for the next matchup. That, to me, is a rivalry. What the Broncos and Raiders have right now, it's not a rivalry. It's not. You're living off the rivalry's reputation, not what it actually is now.
Yeah, it is not. It has not. Well, there's been no rivalry. You can't have a rivalry unless the teams are competitive. What are you, 1-6 in the last 7 games? And it's like the Chiefs. You can't tell me there's a rivalry until you actually beat them. You've lost what, 13 straight to the Chiefs? I mean, come on.
No. Yeah, to that text, no. You're telling me that the Raider games are your Super Bowl, but the Chiefs are what, just some other game?
Yeah, well, you don't have any, apparently you don't have any hope or any belief that you can ever beat the Chiefs. So that game, we don't even watch that one. We plan our camping trip on that one, you know.
It's over. We are screwed.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, it's. Like I said, I just have maybe it probably comes down to what your definition of a rivalry is, okay? And for me, a rivalry is two teams that are both good, that are playing high stakes games, and both teams get theirs.
Right.
And because of that, and then you mix in the personalities, the genuine emotion, the fights, and all those kind of things. That to me is a rivalry. Broncos Raiders right now isn't a rivalry, and I think it's been kind of sad this week that so many people have been artificially trying to pump up this rivalry that doesn't exist.
Hopefully, this.
But boy, I hope it does at some point. Yeah, let's start
this
week.
Start. Absolutely, let's go. Let's roll. I'm ready. Hey, man, I'm like you, Mike. I'm ready. I'm ready to play.
What was the dude's name? Rich Bisaccia?
Yeah, Bisaccia.
If Rich Bisaccia was still coaching the Vegas Raiders right now, instead of Josh McDaniels, would anybody really be talking about the rivalry? Let's face it. The only new juice that has been added to this rivalry is McDaniels.
Right.
Without McDaniels, there's nothing.
Right. Yeah, there is Adams, and we haven't played them yet, but there is some talent there.
But let's not confuse the importance of the game with the idea that it's a real rivalry now. I'm not going to argue about the importance of the game, and beating them would be a big win. Losing to them would be a big loss, but that's different than, high stakes, this means everything rivalry.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, coming up on Monday, we are hopefully going to be celebrating a win over the Raiders. We'll also be putting on the party of the fall. It's invite only. It's an awesome chance to be there for what will be a truly unforgettable night, including free food from Brothers Barbecue. Can't share any more details other than we want to give you right now a chance to win 4 VIP passes to this exclusive event thanks to Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Caller 4 right now wins at 303-713-1043. Good luck. Up next, it's the injury report and our fearless predictions for Sunday. All coming up next.
A Bud Light Football Friday
Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Denver Broncos. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All right, final thought on the whole rivalry thing. I've been getting some texts. Is it just me or Evans? You're not from here. You don't appreciate Broncos Raiders. Look, don't play that game. All right, I was here for Avalanche Red Wings. I was here. I was in the middle of it, covering it nonstop. And I can tell you, having lived through it, Bronco Raider rivalry right now doesn't even come close to sniffing that rivalry's jock. Broncos Patriots, Manning Brady, Belichick, all that stuff, Vaughn. This rivalry right now doesn't come close to sniffing the jock of that rivalry. So don't, if you want to talk to me about what the Raider rivalry used to be, sure, I completely acknowledge it, but don't compare what it is now to what it once was. And certainly don't disgrace or embarrass or water down true rivalries like Avalanche Red Wings or Broncos Patriots with what we're seeing right now from this rivalry. That's all.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now it's not a rivalry. Like, I get where the fans come from. You know, I understand that. But from a player, like, from a team standpoint, there's got to be some competition. Two, there's got to be some genuine, you know, real vitriol.
Yeah.
And none of those things right now, currently, as, you know, as composed or none of those things really exist. So, I mean, I'm with you. Like, hey, man, I'm glad that they're excited to play. And I think that they have a great opportunity to win this game. I think they should. So all those things I'm telling you I'm excited about. But,
well, you know, Bradley Chubb got high marks this week because he came out and said he hated the Raiders. Well, yes, that grabbed the headline, I hate the Raiders. And then you look at the secondary line in which he said, because they've been beating us a bunch of times. And I guarantee you when it comes time for Chiefs week, he'll say the same thing. I hate the Chiefs. Why? Because right. They're beating us a lot. And that needs to change. So,
yeah.
You know, there's a difference there when you talk about it. Time now for your injury report presented by Zoom Care. The guys who are full participation include Baron Browning, PJ Locke, and Kaywan Williams. This one's interesting to me, Stink. I want to ask you about DJ Jones. Has not practiced this week. If he does not practice today, can he still play on Sunday? I mean, he can, but typically... Does that happen?
Typically, no, that does not happen. Well, typically, it depends on the individual. Depends on the player we're talking about. DJ Jones is so valuable. He's so valuable that if he can get himself, and because he's played so well, if he can get himself to Sunday and he says, I'm good to go, then you play him regardless.
Now, he's out with a concussion. He's out with a concussion right now. He is officially being listed with a concussion.
Okay, so I thought it was. I apologize. I thought it was still his back. That's a different, obviously, and that's a different story based on Thursday night,
right?
That there's a concern there. Okay, so I apologize. By the way, my good buddy Jeff Saturday texted me the other day and said, "Hey, man." Walk me through this defense a little bit. What am I looking about in regards to the Broncos? And he was like, dude, 97 is wrecking game. The wrecking games, like just flat out wrecking games. Who is this? Like, and so, you know, guys take notice. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, that do this as a profession, that are former players, that's how we studied the game. So a lot of times you don't really know the names of guys. You just know the numbers. And you're like, who's popping on film? So... DJ Jones has been absolutely a beast in stopping the run and controlling line of scrimmage. So if he's not capable of playing, then that's a significant loss to the Broncos.
Let's get to some more on the injury report, and here we go. Melvin Gordon is
limited
with a neck. Randy Gregory
limited
with a knee. Quinn Miners?
Limited.
Hamstring? Mike Purcell?
Limited.
Neck? Dalton Reisner?
Limited.
Oh, man.
Ankle? Caden Stearns?
Limited.
With a hip. So there's your injury report. Presented by Zoom Care. Visit ZoomCare.com.
Do we have anybody that's unlimited?
Well, the guys that went full.
Oh, okay.
So, all right, we do so in this case, Baron Browning?
Unlimited.
With his knee.
Good.
PJ Locke?
Wilson?
Unlimited.
Oh, how is Russell Wilson feeling?
Yeah.
It's spicy.
Oh, the gift. See, some people look at it as he's corny, and I look at it as a gift. To me, it's a gift.
It is.
It's
it
the
is.
Gift.
Let's run.
I just look at it as the gift just keeps on giving. I don't.
Just
I,
the
I,
gift
I,
of cheese.
I just don't think I'll ever, you know, maybe they got tired of it in Seattle. I just don't see myself getting tired of it. I just think it's wonderful. Your injury report presented by Zoom Care. Visit ZoomCare.com to learn more about their Beyond Better urgent and primary health care clinics in Denver and in Boulder today. It is time for our predictions.
This one's easy for me. I think the Broncos get on track offensively. They run the ball. They marry the run game with the play action game. They get some explosive plays. The Raiders bust a couple coverages. They run blitz the wrong look. They get a long run. I've got the Broncos solving those issues and still playing well on defense. I'm going to go Broncos 27, Raiders 20.
Ah, you got them right in the middle of 24 and 30. Well played, Stink. You said they'd score between 24 and 30 points, and you went right in the middle. I respect that. So you think you got me pegged, right?
I have you.
Go ahead,
it's simple. You know, you're going to be like, You have said, well, I don't think they're going to figure out offensively yet. They're going to be a little bit better. So you're going to give them about 17 points on the offensive side, but you want the victory. And you know 17's not quite enough to win it, so you got to get above that. So then it becomes, well, a field goal would get it 20, and that's too far for you. So there's going to be a defensive score in there, and it's going to be 24 to 17 Broncos.
Not bad, but you're wrong. You're wrong, because one thing that's been reminded to me this week is that my predictions apparently have some sort of power and weight, okay? It's why I can't use the term turning the corner, right? I can't say that about anybody or anything. Too powerful. And then also, apparently, a lot of you think I have Jinxie Cat abilities, right?
Jinxie!
So I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Tell you what, I'll feed that crowd. I'll feed the beast here, okay? So here's what happened. Last week, I picked the 49ers to beat the Broncos. And what happened?
Yes, you did.
And what happened? The Broncos won.
Why do you not have to write an apology letter like
so,
I did?
So
I picked the Broncos last
I am going. Well, that was a third game of the season against San Francisco. You were picking the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
So what?
Not apples to apples, my friend. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do as a service, a public service to Broncos country, showing that I'm thinking of you and caring of you. I'm going to pick the Raiders again. I'm going to go against the Broncos again this week. It worked last week. I'm going to do it again this week. Raiders 23-20.
Oh my! Well, so I was right. You were so upset that I read you like a book. That you changed.
Oh, no. I had already made up my mind. In fact,
I can
show you the timestamp email that I sent Rachel Vigil when she asked for all of our predictions, in which I said Raiders 23-20. It was before you claimed to have predicted me. Yes.
How come I did I get that email or did I not get that email?
You've been having, shall we say, IT issues all week. So I wouldn't be surprised if you didn't get it.
Okay. All right, that's fair.
Hey, have a great weekend. You're calling Indy in Tennessee. Give my regards to Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan is dead, man. Dude's taking a beating right now. I feel like we've got to give him a hug. I'm just going to give him a big old grizzly bear.
You mean he's taking a physical beating?
Looks like a crash test dummy. Some of the hits he takes. Like, he's awkward. He's just awkward.
All right. Well, have a great call on Sunday, and we'll be back on Monday to break it all down. But I do want to preview D-Mac and I hosting the Fan Football Pregame Show starting at noon on Sunday. Take you right up until kickoff. All kinds of great guests, including Mark Schler. So tune into that starting at noon. We got the Players Club coming your way next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.